Guys, you got to stay here because I got a lesson for you. The men. John Bannister, I asked John Bannister twice, just making sure that I was getting the instructions right. I said, what kind of sermon do we want on Valentine's Day? He says, well, give us the thing, the Valentine's thing, you know? So I did what good Christian preachers do. I started looking at all my resources. The Christian church has a kind of a network of preachers that used to use a lot. And they, you know, sermon seeds, sharing your sermon seeds with different preachers so that you get ideas when you need them. You know, it's hard preaching Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And so anyway, I can't remember the guy who came up with the seeds of this sermon, but God knows his name. And I think it's really appropriate for today. But if you haven't figured it out yet, guys, as you've had several reminders, today is Valentine's Day. Now, I also have a reminder for you ladies. Okay, if your man comes home tonight and he gets a dozen roses for you because he was reminded today, it still counts. Because whatever happens within that 24-hour period of Valentine's Day, it still counts. So, guys, you can count your blessings today. What's that? I go single lady. Yes, yeah, there you go. You can count your blessings today. Well, did you hear about the group of young adults who were discussing the subject of how do you say I love you to someone? And in answer to that, a wife shared how her husband had popped the question. She said that she was with a lot of her lady friends, her girlfriends, and her husband, now husband, dressed up in his finest clothes, and he just showed up at their get-together, and he fell on his knees right before her with a ring and asked her to marry him. You could hear that. A lot women love that sort of thing. So, Cody, take good notes. For 8-10 years from now. Have you heard the story of the children who were playing outside and were going to, they're going to pretend that they were going to have a wedding service? You know, my kids used to play church all the time. They would have a preacher and all that. So they assigned all the roles. You know, they had a preacher, they had a bride, they had a groom, they had the groomsmen, they had all these people in place. And as they were just about to start the ceremony, the child who was assigned to be the preacher, he got stuck. He says, I don't know what to say. And then one of his friends chimed in, well, just quote a scripture. So he did. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If you married young, I'm sure you can agree with me. We really didn't know what we were doing. And we're still trying to figure it out. We're still learning. I know I am. I'm still learning. Someone has said that marriage is when you agree to spend the rest of your life sleeping in a room that is too warm beside someone who is sleeping in a room that is too cold. Marriage is an awesome responsibility, isn't it? It truly is. It's one of those commitments that a person makes without fully realizing, usually when you marry young, without fully realizing all that's involved until several years later. And here's where I'm going to do a preacher switcheroo. Now, just when you thought your mind was already going that way, your mind was preparing you for this true love sermon, and you guys, I could see Steve, he was already squirming in his seat back there. You know, because true love sermons are almost always directed toward the men, right? You know, this is how you do it, guys. Well, I'm going to do a little preacher switcheroo because I want to switch it to a higher gear. I want to talk about a love that makes all other loves possible. I want to talk about a relationship that is the foundation of blessings for all relationships. Do you know that there is not one person present? Mama Long brought out that she is single. This sermon is relevant to everybody here. There's not one person present in our worship this morning who is single. Not one, nobody in here is single. Every one of us is either preparing to get married, or if you're a Christian, you're already married. And you probably know where I'm going with this. How can this be? Because in the scriptures, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. And so follow along, if you would, as I share from God's word. I don't have any slides for you today. I just didn't have time to do it. So I'm in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their own body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And so if you're seeking to become a Christian, you're a bride in waiting. But if you're already a Christian, you've been married to Jesus through your salvation. You know, in my years as a pastor, I met all kinds of brides as we did the premarital counseling thing and such. I got to know the couple. Always tried to do that. But most of the brides, I had a feeling were going to make wonderful wives. But there were a few that I thought to myself, boy, he's going to have a wake-up call here in a few years. And as the years went along, that was true in some cases. But I can assure you that in many cases, she had a wake-up call, too. But do you remember what kind of bride or groom you were looking for when you began to think about getting married? And Becky would be sick today, by the way. She's got bronchitis. I would normally be looking at her right now. But she's got bronchitis and on antibiotics. But do you remember the kind of bride or groom you were looking for when you began to think about getting married? I remember asking God to give me a wife who understands my needs, a one who would love me and remain faithful to me. And if by any chance that God could also just throw in, you know, that she's a good cook and that she's good with the kids and all those kinds of things. And I can tell you, Becky, since you're going to listen to this recording, God answered my prayers. But seriously, the main thing I prayed for was a wife who was a committed Christian, a woman who honors God in all things, and that's what the Lord gave me with Becky. And all those other things were thrown in as well. But I wonder what Jesus thinks of us, his bride, this morning. Have we remained faithful and true to him? Has our marriage, has our salvation stood the test of time? Or have we been lured away into adulterous situations and circumstances with the world? Is Jesus still the love of our life, or do we replace him with our job or our materialism or our pursuit of things of this world? If we are honest, we all have to say that we struggle at times with the pollution, and I don't mean physical pollution, but the pollution that is this world, don't we? We struggle at times with being completely faithful to our vows to Christ. And in a wedding ceremony, and I'm going to talk about wedding ceremonies here, Let me just say this about wedding ceremonies. There is a lot of theology in the wedding ceremony. In the Orthodox traditional sense, the Orthodox wedding ceremony that's been in existence for a long time, there is a lot of theology in that ceremony. And I'm going to speak to the pieces of the wedding ceremony this morning. But in the wedding ceremony, the couple stands before each other and they boldly proclaim, I do. I do of you. I do promise to cherish you and to honor you. But what does I do to Jesus mean if we are his bride? I do what? What does it mean? Do you know what the wedding processional is all about? The entrance of the bride and the groom into the sanctuary? Now, I'm coming from the Christian church for quite a few years. That's still in my blood. It's still in my DNA. I call this the sanctuary. This is where we do holy things. We do things right here together as the body of Christ that we don't do in our neighborhood. We don't do at work. We do holy things here. So you can call it auditorium. That's fine with me. You don't offend me. I hope I don't offend you by calling it sanctuary. Amen. But the couple with the processional, we have the entrance of the bride and the groom into the sanctuary, and that is the purpose of what is called. It's in my if you look at my worship book that I got when I went through training to be a minister. There's the declaration of intent. The declaration of intent. Most people think that the processional is just the beginning of the ceremony. The ceremony is about to start. But there's a theological basis for it. It's the declaration of intent. Now, I don't think I've performed a wedding ceremony yet where the best man or one of the groomsmen didn't tease the groom right at this point. Are you sure you're ready? You sure you're not going to change your mind? Because once he walks out that door, he is declaring his intentions. As the bride and groom enter the sanctuary from different directions and they meet in the middle, they're declaring their intention before the invited guests and God and all the witnesses that they are here for a purpose, and that purpose is to give themselves to each other. This morning, here together, the body of Christ, a little part of the body of Christ gathered together, what does your presence here declare? Have you come as the bride of Christ ready to give yourself to Him? What are our intentions? A declaration of intention is a public witness of what someone intends to do. In fact, the rest of the wedding ceremony are a bunch of statements that are repeated of what the couple intend to do for each other as a married man and woman. As the bride of Christ, we declare our intentions before God as well when we give our lives to Him. Would you say you have honored your intentions as Christ's bride? Do the two of you make a good couple, or is there difficulty in your relationship? This morning, we have an opportunity to reaffirm our intentions as the bride of Christ, to declare anew that we belong to Him and that we love Him. Will you declare that intention? See, when someone is baptized, in a lot of ways, it is a spiritual wedding ceremony. Corvette? I always say Corvette, it's Corvette. I keep getting it wrong. The person being baptized is making a public pronouncement of their intentions to be in covenant with Christ Himself, to follow Christ, and to love Christ. And I think that Sundays in which there is a baptism like we had today, it's a joyful experience. It's a wonderful experience, but I think it's a great time for Christians who are witnesses to renew their commitment to Christ. When a couple says, I do, they're saying, I do promise to live in covenant with you, to commit myself to you. See, a marriage starts with a statement of intention, but good intentions, if that's all it is, do not make good marriages. Okay? You can promise your spouse the world before the wedding, but it's what you do afterwards that makes or breaks the marriage. You have to give yourself without reservation to the marriage and to your spouse, don't you? If our relationship with God is to grow and to be fulfilling, we must be willing to commit ourselves to Him. to follow through with the I do. Coming to church each Sunday is a great start. It really is. But it's how we live, how we treat our spouse when we go home. That's the true test of whether we have a good marriage or if we only have a good image. Did you realize that a good deal of thought, as I said, was put into the Orthodox traditional wedding ceremony? It may be dawning on you now if you didn't realize that. We're going to see more. The order of events in that Orthodox Christian ceremony is not just a haphazard thing. And that's why when I'm asked sometimes to do a wedding, I always make them understand we're doing a Christian ceremony, right? Because if we're not, I would rather you go to get a justice of the peace. Because if we're going to do a wedding, which was created by God, a marriage created by God, we're going to do a Christian ceremony thoroughly, right? And that often leads to counseling of, you know, are you a Christian? But if you notice, the groom always enters the sanctuary first. The groom always enters first. That's the ceremony. The groom enters the sanctuary before the bride, and he's the first one to say the vows. And that's on purpose. Because the groom, in doing so, the groom is signifying that he is the covenant initiator. He's the covenant initiator. I know we live in a very politically correct time. I still look at that young man, and I make sure he understands there's something holy you're about to enter into. You have a great responsibility. She does too. But you have a great, great responsibility to get the love you need for this marriage from Jesus Himself. You really have a great, we have that great responsibility. It's on us. So the groom comes in up first and he signifies that he's the covenant initiator. And this is important because whoever initiates the covenant assumes greater responsibility for it being fulfilled. God initiates covenants with Noah. Think about all the Abraham, David, Israel. Over and over again, God initiates covenants. But I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't just initiate them. He is a covenant keeper. God is committed to us as His people. Jesus initiated the covenant of salvation with us. And though sometimes we are not always as faithful as we should be and as we want to be, Jesus assumes the greater role of keeping us together in relationship with Him. He has the power to do so. He has all of the resources of heaven and earth, visible and invisible, at His disposal. He has the power to do so. He can bring me to my knees when He wants to. We may fail, but He does not. We're sometimes, if we're honest, we're sometimes that fickle, flirting bride, you know, looking at the things of the world. What was that? You know, looking at the things of the world, instead of keeping her eyes on Christ. Jesus never does that. Jesus never does that. Jesus never entertains the thought of giving up on us or divorcing us. Because He's committed to us. And He's asking us for a commitment to Him. He asks, as disciples of Jesus, He's asking for a commitment to Him. And in the wedding ceremony, the bride and groom also take each other's right hand as they say the vows. There's something significant in that. The open right hand offered by each party symbolizes their strength, their resources, and their purpose. And by clasping each other's right hand, they are pledging these things to each other. And we too depend upon the saving strength of God's right hand. There's powerful metaphors in Scripture about it. Psalm 20 says, "Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand." This morning I ask you to take the hand of Jesus again and lean on Him. The good thing about our groom is that He never gives up on us. Right now, this very moment, He wants to bless us in His love. To open all the riches of heaven and reign pouring His Holy Spirit through our hearts. I love the river of life song, the river of love song, for the riches of the Spirit to flow through our hearts, that we could have the love that we need in all of our earthly relationships. So we could kind of say, you know, with the church, the bride of Christ, we married Mr. Perfect, Mr. Right. Not too many people can say that, but with Jesus, He's always perfect. He's always there. He's a rock. Many times a couple will have a unity candle as a part of their service. A unity candle is a symbolic expression of how two lives become one. Not by their efforts with Christian marriage, not by their efforts and abilities, but the light symbolizes Christ. And the fact that Christ can bring two lives together and make them one. He alone can do that. And so this morning, I was hoping to have an image there. I didn't have time to do it, but this morning you can just imagine an image, the image of lighting a unity candle as a sign and a seal of our oneness with Christ. What God has joined together, no one or nothing is to separate. But the pronouncement at the end, the pronouncement of husband and wife at the end of the wedding ceremony, it's more than just a name change. It acknowledges that name change thing for sure, but it is more than just that. It's part of the I do. I do from this time on take my stand to be your wife, to be your husband, so let it be. And marriages truly are built on trust, aren't they? They're built on trust. And it takes two. In an earthly human marriage, it takes two. And the sting of divorce is heavy in our society. It's heavy. It's heavy, and God's heart breaks. His grace is there. It takes two, and not always do the two stay committed. And we're just broken creatures in that way. I'm so glad that God's grace abounds. But marriages are built on trust. At the pronouncement, at the end, the couple says, "Our trust is unbroken and unwavering. Nothing will come between us, for we are husband and wife." God has declared His undying love and devotion to us as well in His Son, Jesus Christ. Through our salvation, we find relationship with God, and the blood of His Son declares that we are His and nothing can come between us. But it takes two to keep the promise. God doesn't take us by the hair of the head and drag us to follow Him. God never wavers. He never doubts. He never questions the relationship. Sometimes we struggle. But I have good news for you. When you become a Christian, when you became a Christian, God pronounced you His. The Bible says that He placed the Holy Spirit on you and in you as a seal of approval and as a promise for the future with Him. He claimed you, and once God stakes a claim, He does not give it up. If we've been an unfaithful Christian, and we all have to admit we have, then I invite you to run to Jesus in your heart to ask His forgiveness. Receive the assurance of His loving grace. We talked in Sunday school a little bit about what does it mean to be a faithful Christian? What does it mean? Does it mean we never make mistakes? Well, if that's what it means, then we are all in a heap of trouble. It means our commitment is there to keep coming back. Jesus, I missed it. I should not have said that to that person. I shouldn't have thought those thoughts. I missed it. And Jesus is faithful. He's not fickle like we are. He's always faithful. His arms are always open wide. He's always there to give us the assurance of his love and grace and forgiveness. And when we witness a baptism as we have today, it's such a wonderful time to reaffirm our vows. See the blessing you've been to us today, Corbett? In the wedding ceremony, the bride and groom exchange rings. And I promise I'm winding down with this. They exchange rings. The ring is an unending circle. You've heard the preacher say that many times. Has no beginning and has no end. That's the kind of love that God displays to us as his people. It's a perfect love. It's an unbroken love. Two parties make a covenant. They exchange something of value as a token of their pledge. You can hear the words in the ceremony, can't you? As a token of their pledge. So the exchange of the rings represents the demonstration of their pledge. It marks them as belonging to each other, as having pledged themselves to one another. Baptism is a lot like that. I'm responding. God initiated the relationship with me. And I'm responding. I'm making my pledge to him. God gave his own son, not like a ring, which is a token of love, but he gave his very self. It was love in the flesh. And we, in our pledge, we give him our faith. We give him our trust. We give him our commitment. And many, many times I've experienced in my following of Jesus, I know you have as well, we give him our will. Lord, I want to do this, but I really see in your word and your and the Spirit is always in accordance with it. I really know you're telling me to do that. So I'm going to do what I don't feel like doing at the moment, and I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. So sometimes we give him our will. And so as you leave the sanctuary this morning, be reminded that you belong to someone, that you're married to Christ as his bride, and he calls you to be faithful. He calls you to be faithful. You know, as a minister, I've seen all kinds of marriages, and my heart breaks for each one that fails. It really does. I ran into a guy yesterday that I had performed his wedding quite a few years ago at Crestview Christian, and didn't work out. You know, my heart breaks for that. God will never fail you. God will never fail you. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. Listen, get this, and I'm closing, I promise. From eternity past, he loved you. From eternity past, he loves you. In the midst of a sinful and broken and unfaithful world, he has redeemed you for his own. And he's not a covenant breaker, he's a covenant keeper. It's hard to explain how much Christ loves us in earthly terms. Paul struggled with it even. And one of the closest metaphors that the Holy Spirit could give Paul was the love between a husband and his wife, because it illustrates the closeness of Christ's relationship with us and the depth of his love. We are the bride of Christ. We are his beloved. Happy Valentine's Day. If you're here today, and if the light of faith is how, like I call it, it's kind of the way it felt like to me. A light just kind of came on in my heart a long time ago, and I realized the love that God had for me was real through his son. If that is happening to you, then it's a wonderful time to enter into this cup, to say yes to the covenant initiator, to say yes and to become a Christian, to be baptized in front of God and all and witnesses, and to start this journey with Jesus himself. This is an opportunity to do that, if you would like to respond as we stand and sing.